Ready.
Just in middle of the field, 45, 50. Green grass in front of him, leaving Lions in his wake.
I am Jeff Joniak.
Blitz is on. Down he goes. Husker.
What was it like playing for Coach Ditka?
I don't want to answer any questions like that.
61 yards. A Sunday stroll for Justin Fields.
No way. 3-4-3.
And Pendera is Pendera is Pendera.
Now, Bears Etc. with the voices of the Chicago Bears, Jeff Joniak and Tom Thibodeau.
Struggles on both sides of the ball for the Bears and a 30-13 road loss in Los Angeles. We're recapping here on episode 29 of the Bears Etc. podcast with Super Bowl winning Bears guard Tom Thayer. I'm Jeff Joniak. Coming up, our weekly conversation with head coach Matt Eberflus. Tom, we got in at 5:15 or so. I'm sure you got home around 6:15, so you slept fast and ready to rock here and wrap things up after Monday's day off for the players, Tuesday off as well. No practice Wednesday this week because of the upcoming travel with the short week following New Orleans when they have to host Carolina on a Thursday night. How do you look at that?
Well, it seemed like this was on tap from the beginning of the season. When they looked at the schedule and Matt Eberflus, the best way to get your team ready is to make sure they're well rested on Sunday or Thursday when they play. Looking back at it after the travel during my time, I wish we had these scientific advantages to think about, but that was not part of the game plan. So you just kind of went about business as normal. So hopefully it has an effect on the players, and come Sunday when they're in New Orleans, they play a fresher, more aggressive style of football.
We're brought to you by Miller Lite, the official beer of the Chicago Bears. Tastes like Miller Time, Chicago. All right, I opened my stat book here, and I'm looking last night on the plane coming home, and I see third down and fourth down efficiency. Each team combined had 7. Bears went 1-4 on fourth down where they're trying to rally late in the game, and they dug themselves a ditch they couldn't get out of. First downs about even. The Bears had 7 on the ground, 10 through the air. Rushing, certainly the Bears had to give up on the run game. They averaged just 2.9 for the day, but they only allowed 2.2. This comes down to one simple thing, Tom. They let Justin Herbert get in a rhythm, and he scored in his first 5 scoring drives. And for that matter, the game was over right then and there.
Yeah, you know, there's different, kind of benchmarks throughout the course of the game. So even if you look back, they're losing 17-0 with 5:42 to left in the second quarter. And then that's when they had Velus Jones wide open in the end zone and his feet slipped out from underneath him and the pass went incomplete. So now if there's 5:30 on the clock and it's 17-7, then you kind of, you're in kind of in a different, more aggressive frame of mind. I think you take a couple more chances before the end of the first half and see if you can get yourself a double score before you go into halftime. And then there are some other mistakes that they made on, back-to-back plays, or when they did get a first down and they had some type of a penalty that brought it back. And then it was hard to recover because you immediately put the advantage to the opponent. And those are kind of elements of the game that the Bears, they're not a good enough team right now to overcome self-imposed mistakes.
Yeah, and it does go back down to every play matters. I think you're going to hear that in our interview with Coach Eberflus. Every single play matters. You know, they did score on that drive that Velus Jones could not get, but it did take time off the clock. You know, like to your point, it could have been a better situation for them to get on the board. The status at Halas, Tremaine Edmonds left the game. Looked like a painful hyperextension. Tommy, a helmet on the kneecap, I guess, or above the knee, but he did return for a couple plays. Finish the game though on the sideline. Are you concerned?
Yes and no. I'm concerned just because he did come in, he felt it out, wasn't comfortable on it, and then took the rest of the game off. And then hopefully in the short amount of recovery time and off of his feet until Thursday, maybe it'll come back to him and he'll feel like he has the opportunity to go. But if he can't go and he's not 100% confident, I'm confident in Jack Sanborn and TJ Edwards, and maybe you see Sewell in there as well. And, you know, you have to go to bat with who you have. But I want Tremaine Edmonds to be healthy for the long run.
Tyson Bagent put together another high completion percentage game, spread it around again, 9 different receivers for the second straight game. Admits he forced a couple throws, 2 were picked, and those were discussions they had back at Halas Hall on Monday morning. Overall, though, the offense just did not get on the board, and so that's finishing plays. I was glad to see Cole Kmet get 10 targets. I'd like to see that continue and have that become a 150-yard game and two touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, I would like to see more splash play opportunities like they went to Darnell Mooney the first play of the game. When you look at that play, Darnell Mooney was open. Cole Kmet was a viable option, and so was DJ Moore on the opposite side of the field. So I don't think you can deny that the Bears have big play opportunities. It's just putting themselves in a position that they can go for it, even if they suffer an incompletion, that they're able to recover from it. So, you know, you're getting to it. You're getting to a point in the season right now, it may benefit you to have those 3 to 5 splash play attempts a game.
You talk about pass rush right now, 10 sacks, lowest in the NFL. We know it's an issue. They tried to generate some. They blitzed a fair amount with Kyler Gordon, with some others. When Brisker's in there, he'll blitz. What else could they possibly do at this point to generate a pass rush, especially against a great quarterback, a top 10 quarterback like Herbert? He has felt the heat over the past several weeks, and it did affect him. What can be done at this point?
Well, you kind of answered the way I was going to answer the question. When you're blitzing a very knowledgeable big quarterback like Justin Herbert, and he's able to see the blitz, anticipate it, know where his hot receiver opportunity is going to open up, and then he gets rid of it. So it's either that you have to make sure that you have coverage on the back end of the blitz, that even if you have a hot receiver, that you're more of an on-the-spot tackler or maybe even an interceptor to that point. I don't want him to stop trying the blitz or to be aggressive or, you know, get some turnaround attempts, but you have to also consider the quarterback that you're playing against, his elusiveness, his decision-making, and just the caliber of quarterback he is.
For all your journeys ahead, go with a partner who's been on your team from the beginning, the one members and communities have trusted for over 85 years, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, always standing by you, with you, for you, through it all. Let's now dig into Matt Eberflus, our weekly conversation with the Bears head coach. Hey, thanks, Matt, for joining us once again. What's your biggest takeaway from this game in LA?
Yeah, just really the start of it. We just didn't play complimentary football from the beginning, you know. And you know, when you go, a punt on the first possession, you know, after we get a explosive play, you know, we end up going behind the sticks and not getting a field goal on that. You're hopeful you get at least a field goal on that. And then, you know, we end up punting it back down there. And then we get to the first third down and, you know, we don't get them off the field, you know. And then, you know, they mount a drive on us and they end up scoring. But, you know, that's what the details of what it is, you know, in terms of, like, you know, staying ahead of the game there. Because, you know, if we kick a field goal there, right, and then we go 3 and out on defense, then – the game looks differently, you know, right. And that's just the way it is. That's why the execution of every single play in the NFL matters.
I said that was the theme for the game for me, was the devil was in the details.
Yeah.
I mean, that first play got everybody's attention right away. Mm-hmm. Could have gone differently if the receiver runs all the way, or in this case, the referee doesn't blow the whistle to blow it dead. But, I mean, my gosh, the whole thing takes on a different tone. But then, you know, when a great quarterback is on the field, and I think we can put him in that category, Justin Herbert, right, top 10 quarterback in the league, when he gets in a rhythm, it's tough to break him. And the end result was 5 straight scoring drives. But there were little things, and this is where I was driving at with you. These are fixable things because it involves fundamentals and technique.
Yeah, there's no question. And I told the guys at halftime, you know, that's exactly what it is. I said, when you look at the first half, guys, you're going to look at it and you're going to say, hey, it's all about our angles. It's all about how we, you know, vision on the quarterback and break and take up that distance, you know, and really, you know, close, make daylight evaporate like we've been doing the last couple weeks and been playing really good, you know, solid defense as of late. And, again, I thought we played solid in the second half. We tackled better in the second half. We continued to stop the run even when they were trying to run it, which is always a good thing because guys are on the details of that and they're there where they're supposed to be and they're aggressive. And we got to continue to do that as we move forward.
It certainly matters who's standing in that pocket, though, too. Does that make players, whether they dwell on it or not, pause a half a tick because it's a better quarterback? It's a great quarterback.
I don't think so. I think that's our guys, you know, in the secondary certainly see it as a challenge. You know, Jalen Johnson played well yesterday, covered his tail off. You know, Tyreek had his moments, you know, where he really played well. Again, he's got to tackle better in the first half. He knows that. But and again, he's been working, you know, and he's going to continue to work to get great experience. You know, not having our two starting safeties in there, I think, hurt us a little bit. You know, the guys in there were battling Hicks, you know, and Harmon. They did a really good job in there, you know, for those guys. But, again, when you have a guy like Brisker, that's the passion and energy, you know, a big part, big piece of your defense. You know, we certainly missed him in there.
Stevenson had 12 tackles.
Yeah.
Yes, so how many could he have had?
No, he did well on the perimeter. They were certainly attacking the weak side, you know, of the defense there. We saw that, and we made that adjustment, but he did a nice job.
All right. You did explain the Brisker situation. He was sick, but then it ultimately maybe hid symptoms of a concussion, it appears. So he is in concussion protocol.
Yes, he is. Yep. And again, like I said, he cleared, you know, after the game, you know, and that's what was different about it, that he did clear, you know, with an independent neurologist. He cleared, you know, scot-free, you know, Sunday and Monday. And then got sick on Tuesday and was sick the rest of the week. And then once he was done being ill with his sickness, because he did have a fever and all that, you know, then he reported that, hey, I still have symptoms, you know, of this. And we, you know, and then we had him reevaluated, and now he's back in concussion protocol. So, yes, very unique situation. The first time that's ever happened in, you know, in my career in the NFL. So, again, the best part of it is that, you know, we listened to the player. And we didn't put him out on the field, right? And we were smart about it. And he didn't travel, so he was able to rest back here, you know, in Chicago. So we'll see where it is.
Yeah, the communication is vital. I mean, guys could tell you a fib or two, hey, Cole, I want to play, and then it turns out to be a bad thing. So at least they're being honest. I want to go back to fundamentals because it's something that, you know, one of your mentors, Rod Marinelli, has often talked about. And I can't quite remember the time frame. It either was 48 hours or 72 hours, your body loses the muscle memory to do an act of fundamentals on the field. And that's why he always talked about stripping down a player, and he'd have to do it every few days to get back. Is that something that you also believe in, and do you see it happening? That can also impact poor tackling situations.
Yeah, we've been working really hard the last 3 weeks. You know, we've done different drills during our individual. We emphasized it during 7-on-7 and team drills, and we've gotten better, you know, at the skill of what we call cupping the ball. And that's where you saw, you know, some of the breakdowns yesterday where you lose your leverage. And, you know, and you can see it. Everybody can see it where a player is an outside-in player and all of a sudden he lets the ball cross his face. And then the gain, instead of being 3 yards, it now goes to 8 or 9 yards. And that's what we've been good at. And we got to continue to do that. And, again, we got our hands full this week with a lot of skill in New Orleans. And we got to be on that this week.
So a couple of cases, overrunning a play, right? Like you're going with a head of steam and it's a cut and you're going this way and this guy's going that way. Just slow it down a smidge.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, you want to take up all the space that you can, and then once you get to that point, you want to be able to gather yourself, disattach, and then speed back up once you have your leverage point.
Tyson Bagent will start week 9 here against New Orleans. There were a bunch of good things again. Just got to value the football.
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, in the presser that you know, the 2 minute, you know, the NASCAR stuff, our fastball stuff was really good. And, you know, he operates well there, distributing the ball, you know, to Cole and the rest of the players, you know, DJ. And the running backs got a lot of touches yesterday, so that's always good. You know, and then, like I said, you know, he's just, again, two things of a quarterback, you know, is, you know, your sack number and your turnover number. Those are two things that you got to keep low. Those got to be low. So you can get rid of the ball and avoid a lot of sacks that way, which he's done a good job with that. They only had one sack, and they had some pressure. But he got rid of the ball, did a nice job there. But he just put the ball, you know, a couple times, you know, in harm's way. And a couple of those were, you know, where the receiver ran, you know, a little bit different route than he was supposed to run. You know, it's too deep of a hitch and should have been a 5-step hitch. But other than that, I thought he was solid.
A game like Cole had yesterday, it looks, you know, 10 targets, 10 catches. He's certainly capable of that, but there's so many other duties he has to do in the course of a game, and week to week he may get one or two or none. But does that indicate to you just how beneficial and versatile this player can be?
Yeah, Cole's been great, you know, and he's we utilize him a lot of different ways. You know, he can play off the ball, on the ball, he can flex him out. He's big into the red zone, big on third down. He's really a comfort level for the quarterbacks. you know, because when you throw it to him, he catches it, you know. So it's and he's got a really good run after catch. He's a good screen runner. He does a lot of things well.
Do you feel, and we're, you know, basically the midpoint of the season when you get to the first, through the first half of the Saints game, you're at the midpoint of the season, but you know, there's people coming to help here. You know, you got everybody from Braxton Jones who's in the 21-day, Eddie Jackson, Khalil Herbert, Nate Davis, Brisker will be back eventually. Does that make you feel, as you look down the pipe a little bit, and whatever happens at the trade deadline, something or nothing, who knows, but does that give you some confidence here for the second half of the season?
Yeah, it does. It does. But, you know,
it's – And Justin.
It, of course. And it does give you a lot of hope, but it's really, you know, it's week to week. You know, because, you know, every week something happens. You know, it's not, you know, in the NFL, and everybody's dealing with it. It's not just us. You know, everybody deals with it, and how, it's how you respond to it that matters, and how you have the backups ready to go, you know, and your position flex. That's so important, and the depth that you have at your positions. And, again, everybody's dealing with it. Some places that have better depth than others in terms of your current roster. But, again, you got to always have that ready to go.
All right. Saints are a handful. They spread it around. There's a lot of different things they do. We got another back who can be damaging like Eckler and Alvin Kamara. You got Taysom Hill. You got Derek Carr, who's been playing, putting numbers up. But they seem to hit their stride yesterday in a comeback win over the Colts. Lot to deal with defensively here for you guys.
Yeah, for sure. You know, they're talented at the receiver level.
Speed.
They got speed, and they got a lot of talent out there. You know, three or four different guys that we got to defend, and you know, certainly talent at the running back level. You know, so it's going to be our all hands on deck for us, and it's going to take a really good effort by us.
And Dennis Allen defense in the dome. Not simple, because it will get loud there.
Yeah. Yep, and he's always had good defenses, and again, they continue to do that this year, and it'll be a good test for our offense.
All right, good luck with your prep. Talk to you next week.
Thank you.
He's got New Orleans coming up this week, and we ended with the idea that there is a lot to face with this Saints team. It's just not a starting quarterback. They use Taysom Hill, as we know, under center. They use him to run. They use him to pass, and he was effective in their win, come from behind win. They've trailed the last three games, Tommy, in the first half, and this time they managed to come back and win on the road against Indianapolis. And a defense in that building, which can be quite aggressive with Dennis Allen. He's not one to be shy about bringing pressure and bringing heat, and that crowd is going to be cranked up. I think there'll be a big Chicago contingent as well, but in New Orleans, it's a little tougher place to play.
Yeah, no matter how big the traveling fan base is of Chicago, you're going to be drowned out by the New Orleans fans. Some of my experience is in that stadium. I've never been in a louder opponent environment in my life. And it was almost difficult to coach and talk on the sideline because the crowd is so close to you and they're so loud. You know, with all that being said, I think there's so much non-volume experience in the NFL nowadays and through the college upbringing of a lot of these players that they're more familiar with the timing of the cadences and such. So as we tried to use a verbal cadence back in the day when you couldn't hear it, it probably wasn't the smartest decision. So I don't think that Luke Getsy should look at pulling back on any of what he feels he can work in this offense. And you got to try to find where your advantage lies. And it's going to, first of all, you're going to have solid protection. You're going to have the ability to find the matchups that you like downfield. Like I said, take an opportunity at those shock plays to maybe move the ball significantly. And then, you know, on defense, what you're going to have to do, your responsibility is going to be twofold. You're going to have to make the quarterback super uncomfortable, and you're going to have to be able to anticipate a very diverse type of a game plan.
Vizzy Hard Seltzer, the official hard seltzer of the Chicago Bears. For those young fans out there that are listening to the podcast, you know, of course, Tom Thayer and his 85 Bear teammates won Super Bowl 20 there in the Superdome. And so do you get weird feelings when you walk back into that place as an announcer, which you've done several times?
Well, you know, one of my biggest first football experience in life was playing in the Sugar Bowl there when Georgia won the national championship when Herschel Walker was a freshman. And they beat us when I was – that was my sophomore year. And you think of a Georgia crowd in the Superdome and how loud it was at that point. And then to go there and experience the Super Bowl, and it was a super Chicago-supported crowd, and we were in the lead from the – not the very beginning. They took a 3-0 lead. But again, it was a great experience to be in the Super Bowl. But I got to say, we went down there to play New Orleans at one time, and they were 7-0. And we went down there, the Bears, and we beat them in the last seconds of the game in one of the loudest environments I've ever been in. So it's doable, whether you're the opponent playing the home team, whether you're a home team that's playing in the Super Bowl, or a college team facing a school that's close to New Orleans. So it's about winning the game and beating the crowd as well as the team on the field.
Tyson Bajan will be the starting quarterback, Tommy. He will be there. Justin Fields still on the mend. Don't know when he'll return. Remains week to week. But Bajan, every rep matters for him at this point in his career. He's getting great opportunities here. And there is a bunch of feelings out there amongst the fan base and reporters and analysts and talk show hosts. They're looking at this in a very different ways across the board. Because there's been a lot of conversation about Tyson Bajan, but I feel it's been deserved conversation. He's earned this. He's earned the right to be the backup quarterback here, and he's doing what he's asked to do. He's filling in for an injured player. That's the extent of it at this point.
Yeah, and again, this is not a one-man job. He's got the other 10 guys on the field with him on the offensive side of the ball, the special teams and the defensive unit, and they do all have to work together. I think Matt kind of addressed that component of it today at the podium. But, you know, Luke Getsy also knows Tyson Bajan a little bit better now after two starts and kind of is understanding more of a comfort zone, where how he likes to read plays, how he sees blitzes, where his outlet receivers are most efficiently seen. And I think all those things that come into that part of growing the Bear offense, not growing the Tyson Bajan offense, but the Bear offense and how it fits alongside Luke Getsy and Tyson Bajan for that matter. And then the counterparts, because, you know, like you said at the beginning of the show, I was really glad to see Cole Kmet get 10 targets, and I hope he gets 10 targets a week.
Bears are getting closer to getting all their running backs healthy. That then becomes an issue a bit here because you've got good ones. You got Khalil Herbert, obviously, coming back here shortly. You've got Darrington Evans in the mix here. He has played well in his limited reps for the Bears. Got his first touchdown as an NFL player rushing the football on Sunday. You've got Roschon Johnson back working into the mix, and we all like what Deontay Foreman is. Travis Homer is a necessity on special teams. It's a luxury to have this many backs that all can do different things. Do you find that to be problematic in any way moving forward here in the final nine games?
You know, too many good players is never problematic. One of the things that I would think about is, because I think Kari Blasingame is so underutilized, would you rather have another halfback active instead of Kari Blasingame and then kind of put a tight end in the places that they use Kari Blasingame? And look, man, I'm all for Kari Blasingame. I'm a huge fan of his. And if it was up to me, I would increase the amount of I formation reps with him being the lead fullback. But when you talk about the personnel decisions that you have to make, you're going to have to think what best fits your roster against the opponent you're playing according to the formations you're going to see. And, you know, for me, and I was thinking today, Jeff, is that Tevin Jenkins is playing really good football, very solid offensive right guard football. So now think ahead in a couple weeks when Nate Davis comes back. You know, you have to start thinking ahead there too. And that's a job for Chris Morgan and Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles, and how do they see that offensive line best fitting together when you have a really solid building right side of young talent in Darnell Wright and Tevin Jenkins?
What is it specifically is catching your eye with Tevin?
Tevin understands Darnell and Darnell understands Tevin. They never get themselves out of position when they have to help each other. For example, there is a pass play, and Khalil Mack was on the outside shoulder of Tevin Jenkins, and Joey Bosa was on the outside shoulder of Darnell Wright. So instead of Darnell Wright leaping out to Joey Bosa, he calmly set up with his left hand up, stopped the penetration of Khalil Herbert. Tevin Jenkins took over solid. And then Darnell was able to slide out over to Joey Bosa and have a really well fortified right side pass blocking. And then the quarterback had an open window of opportunity to throw a first down pass to DJ Moore. There was another play on a run play where Darnell Wright was able to come down and hit the defensive tackle that was playing on the outside shoulder of Tevin Jenkins, secure him over to Devin Jenkins solidly, then go up and pancake the second level. When you see these two work these combination blocks from point A to point C, and now that was a second down and eight run, and it was a gain of 10 yards. So I'm just saying these two young offensive linemen are developing that imaginary chemistry that we thought of back in the OTA plan.
Take a chance. Download the Bet Rivers app today. Jeff and Tom of the Bears Etc. podcast, good to have you alongside. A play that led to a touchdown. Simi Fehoku from Stanford got away from Jalen Johnson, a rub route, which means he was basically picked and had to run off his track to try and retrace his steps and get to him, and it was too late. What's the coaching point on that particular play?
You know, I think everything, when you talk about defense and those types of plays, you have to have complemented pressure to kind of speed up the thinking process of the quarterback. If the quarterback's not hassled by any type of pressure, he's not in a hurry to get rid of the ball. So then he allows all the formation, all the transition of the routes work within itself, so you get that crease and you know where the opening is going to be, and then you take advantage of it. It's never, like I said, it's never only the responsibility of the defensive backs. It's always relying upon some pressure by the front to be able to speed up the thinking process to get the defensive back in a more advantage of a position.
How about that story on Jaquan Brisker, Tommy? At the end of the game against the Raiders, I mean, I went to talk to him in the locker room, and he would not be able to do an interview. He said he had to get cleared and checked medically and, you know, potential concussion. So he did as he left the stadium, then got sick during the week. He was feverish for 4 days. Then he got better, but then he still was having other issues. He didn't feel right, and turns out he's now in concussion protocol. If he would have gone out there and tried to play with concussion symptoms and thinking he felt better, that could have been trouble. It's in this case, I think it was really good communication by the player saying exactly how he felt.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, the thing about it is after he went on the field and started, you know, maybe having some contact, getting spun around, trying to be on your feet and all the responsibilities of a defensive back, maybe you would have understand, look, I'm a little lightheaded. I'm a little dizzy. I don't really feel like myself. I'm not able to keep my eyes open on impact. And maybe something would have alerted himself in the course of the game, but I'm glad he became aware of it before that ever had to happen.
We're brought to you by PNC, official bank of the Bears. Jeff and Tom, in our remaining moments, a sneak peek of the Saints, 38-17 winners over the Colts. Rashid Shaheed. I don't know if folks know about this cat yet. Second-year player, lightning bolt, yep. And Pro Football Focus named him the highest-graded offensive player in the league for Week 8. He had only 3 catches on 3 targets, but he's flashing, and that's an alert right out of the gate, isn't it?
Hey, it's that Tariq Hill type of fear where you got the speed, you have the elusiveness, you're starting to develop a good relationship with the offensive play caller and the quarterback. They understand when there's a vulnerability against the coverage they're playing and where you need to put him. And if you get the ball to him on the run, the likelihood of somebody catching him, you know, it may be in the end zone. So, yeah, there's a lot of different elements to this offense that you have to pay attention to. But when you have a world-class guy, there's always a threat, and it really can control the safety position.
And he only played 18 snaps, so he's not on the field a lot. But when he's on the field, he's going to grab your attention defensively. And he's averaging one explosive play of 40-plus yards every 7 times he's thrown at. Only Tariq Hill has more of 40-plus yard passes this season, or since last season. Since the start of last season, he's got 10, and Hill's got 14. So the math says it all. That'll be something to keep an eye on as we get ready for this matchup.
Going back in the day, it's the same reason why Ditka always sent Willie Gault on a deep route early in the game just to put the safeties on notice. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that they're going to throw it to you with any frequency. It's just letting these guys know that, look, there's world-class speed on the field, and you better be aware of me.
All right. Did you also notice, I don't know if you had a chance yet to watch Saints tape, but defensive lineman Kalen Saunders is in there as a lead fullback, and he cleared the way for a touchdown on Sunday. They've asked some people, hey, we got to come up with a name for this. And so one of the writers in New Orleans says, we're going to call it 99 Problems. That's his number. Kalen Saunders, 99 Problems. He looks good on his feet. Not William Perry-esque. He's not as big as old Bill, but he looks good doing it. So, again, they're getting creative down there, and I think that's a testament to a team that had been struggling. They're 4-4. They're tied with the Falcons in the NFC South. They had a team meeting, you know, just the guys. The leaders got into it last week to kind of get all on the same page. It was Derek Carr and Mike Thomas. They're a great wide receiver. So interesting to see what the Bears are running into on Sunday.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm surprised that a team wouldn't ever take an undersized offensive guard and develop him into a fullback, because you see the limited amount of touches that Kari Blasingame has had in the last 2 years that he's been here. And like I said, I have a lot of respect for him. But now if you take an offensive guard that's 6'2", 300 pounds, 285, and runs as well as some fullbacks in the league, why wouldn't you make him a lead blocker? So I think that it's not, you know, going, oh my God, I can't believe that this defensive lineman's being used as a lead blocker. I'm surprised that more coaches haven't developed undersized offensive linemen, maybe from a smaller college or a different program, and turn them into that type of player.
I mean, you're throwing shade at defensive tackles and linemen who can do that, though.
I'm not, but I mean, if you want to get it.
Yeah, I think it's cool, though, when they throw a defensive lineman.
Well, you know what's kind of fun back in 85 is when William Perry became part of our short yardage and goal line offense. When we would be doing that period on Friday, Ditka would yell down to Buddy Ryan in the defense, and he would yell, hey, Bill, come on down. And then all of a sudden you see the waddling William Perry coming down the length of the field to run his reps at fullback. And then he got more into the passing game and, you know, all the other stuff that went along with his fame and fortune from the offensive side of the ball.
Hey, listen, also, just a FYI, Bears defense, Houston, 430 yards. Jacksonville, 407 yards. Indianapolis, 511 yards. That's what the Saints have put up the last 3 weeks. Now, they only won one of those three games, but they got five touchdowns on Sunday. They didn't get but three combined in the other two. But they're moving the football. They're moving the football. I think it's going to be a big test this week. Good news, Chicago. United Airlines is getting brand new planes with all the bells and whistles like Bluetooth connectivity, screens at every seat, and room for everyone's roller bag. United, proud to fly the Chicago Bears, and you too. Trade deadline Tuesday, Tom. What's your thought? Do you want the Bears to do anything? Do you want them to be active? Or do you want them to be smart and disciplined?
Smart and disciplined. I mean, I don't know if I want to give up significant collateral who you would assume might be a game changer, but I don't know if there's any game changers out there. I think with the money and the draft picks that they have going into the draft that – you know, this is probably a time that you want to start bringing some youth onto this team, include it with some of the young talent you already brought in, and, you know, develop this roster as quickly as possible with a group of young guys.
Leonard Williams moving from the New York Giants to Seattle. Seattle's going for it. They feel that maybe they got something brewing and the 49ers are slipping back into the mix as the lead dog in that NFC West, but I was, you know, he's a 9-year player. I mean,
this is the third time second time where he's been traded. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, when you go from New York to Seattle, it seems like you're in a whole different country because it's on the entire, completely on the other end of the world. And I had a buddy that went to Seattle as a free agent from the Midwest, and he actually talked about how he felt isolated out that far away from, you know, being more in the Midwest portion of the world.
We'll be back on Thursday with the podcast. We're still coming up with guest ideas. So, Tommy, start racking your brain at exactly who you want to talk to, and we'll get it all squared away. We'll rejoin and rip off another podcast. How about it?
Yeah, you know, but you opened the show, and you said that you were reading your stat page during the flight last night. And I never saw you with your eyes open. Well, so I'm kind of curious how you read it on the flight with your eyes closed and the lights off. And I was up the entire flight. So I think that you got to be more honest with our listeners.
I was able to watch a significant portion of the game. And I did look in depth at, maybe it's a bit of a fib about the plane, but on the bus ride to the airport and on the bus ride after we landed at O'Hare to Halas Hall, I delved all into right. the stats. Is that fair? But you mean to tell me you didn't even take a quick shut eye?
No, I was watching a HBO documentary after I watched the game.
Oh my god.
I can't sleep on a plane.
I passed out, I got to be honest. And I passed out. But nobody wants to hear about our sleep issues on a short.
Any listeners that want to talk to Jeff about a sleep issue can email him at Jeff Joniak.
Yeah, no.
I don't know your email.
Good. All right, Tom, we'll talk to you on Thursday. For Bears head coach Matt Eberflus and Tom Thayer, I'm Jeff Joniak. Thanks for listening, everyone. Our next Bears Etc. podcast drops on Thursday as we get ready to go on to New Orleans. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe now on the Chicago Bears official app, Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Bear down.